All right, Ephesians chapter 1. There's only one thought that I want to take out of them. I'm not basing the whole sermon. I'm just using this passage as my springboard. But just the last few verses there, verses 22 to 23, talking about Christ and having done the works of his sacrifice to have saved us. And then it says in verse 22, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So Christ, what is he to the church? He's the head over all things, right? The head over all things of this church. Who's the head of this church? Who's the head of the church in Caloundra? It's not me, all right? It's not me. God's made me the bishop. God's made me the overseer. I have the rule over you in the church, all right? But the head of the church, the person that we come to worship, the person we come to honor, is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, right? And I've got to make sure that whatever we do in this congregation, whatever we do in this church, aligns with God and Jesus Christ, who is the head, right? And then it says, what is the church? It says in verse 23, which is his body. So this church, this congregation, as difficult as it is to understand, but we are together when we congregate for his name, we are the body of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't fully understand that, right? We think of Jesus Christ coming bodily 2,000 years ago, you know, performing miracles, you know, God in the flesh, you know, amazing, right? And then to think that Jesus looks at us as a church, as his body on this earth, as his representation on this earth, while he's in heaven before he comes back to establish his kingdom. So it's a great honor that we've been given, and it gives me a lot of fear to think about that, actually, that God, Jesus Christ, expects us to be his body on this earth while he's in heaven waiting for his return. So when you think about what church is, you know, the Bible says there, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So church is a place as well that is to be filled with his fullness. When we come to church, we come to experience the fullness of Jesus Christ, right? So all I'm trying to say, all I'm trying to grab from this is that church is an important institution for believers, right? Church is an important place to be. You know, we think about ourselves, we think about, you know, obviously, you know, it's good to get along, but, you know, as we get to know each other more and more, we're going to see each other's weaknesses, we're going to see each other's faults, and, you know, we might think of church as it's just this social gathering, right, just to praise God, but no, we see how important it is to God. We see that Jesus Christ died for the church, he gave himself for it. We see that this is his place of his fullness, and he says, hey, where two or three are gathered in his name, he'll be there. So when we're gathered in Christ, Christ says, I'm here amongst you. And that's something I want you guys to keep in mind. You know, a lot of you guys have been praying for a church. You're excited to have a church finally up here that you can attend week in, week out. But there's going to come a time where it just becomes a norm. It just becomes the usual. It no longer becomes exciting. So I need you to remember what church is. It's not come to church to please Kevin so Kevin's happy that you're all here. No, it's coming here for the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to serve him. Now the question might be asked, well, what is church? You know, what is church? Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 for me. And some people have this idea, you know, they overcomplicate what church is. All right? But Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12 says, it says this, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Hey, and the singing that we just did before the sermon, hey, we were just singing praises to our God, right? It's a place where we come to sing praises to him. But it says here that thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, okay? Now, that saying is taken from the Old Testament. If you can turn to Psalms 22, turn to Psalm 22, verse 22. Psalm chapter 22, or it's not really chapter, it's Psalm 22, number 22, verse 22. So this saying in the New Testament, talking about the church, being in the midst of the church, comes from this psalm, Psalm 22, verse 22, which says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So it's basically quoting the Old Testament, right? And instead of church, in the book of Psalms, it says in the midst of the congregation. Instead of the midst of the church, like it said in Hebrews, it says in the midst of the congregation. So what is church? Church is the congregation of believers. God is a congregation of those that are saved in Christ. Okay? Some people have this crazy idea of what church is. They think it's something brand new in the New Testament. And there is a newness to it in the New Testament. But when the Old Testament Israelites gathered together for the name of Christ, for the name of God, they were a church. In fact, the Bible calls them the church in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. Okay, so don't get this idea of this, you know, the word church. Some people really misunderstand it, and then they take it so far to call churches now like this church age, and they misunderstand what it is. Church just means congregation, right? And also, I'll just read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. It says here, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. So here we see the word assembly and church used interchangeably, right? To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So all I want to point out to you guys is when you read your Bibles and you read the word church, or you see the word congregation or the word assembly, that they're just words that are interchangeable. Church means congregation. Church means assembly. When we're assembled together, assembly and congregation basically mean the same thing. To congregate, right? And to assemble just means the same thing. Where we come from different places, we come together, we assemble together, we congregate together, and together we have church, right? And God's given me as the bishop the rule over you in the church, not outside of the church. I can't come to your house and tell you how to run your household. I can't tell you, husbands, how to treat your wives outside of the church congregation. It's my job to preach the word of God, and then it's your job to decide whether or not you're going to apply that outside of the church in your life. I can't come to your workplace and tell you how to work your job, right? My rule, my oversee, my authority is in the congregation when we're gathered together and not outside of that, okay? You know, one good example is, and this is sort of outside of my notes, but one good example, I might one day work for you. One of you guys might one day offer me a job outside of the work. I might work for you, right? But in that situation, you're my boss. You've got the rule over me in the workplace, right? But in the church, actually, I had that exact scenario happen to me. I did work for someone in the church in Punch Bowl, and he was my boss, right? Right? But if he was attending this church, then you know I would be the rule over him in the congregation when we're gathered together. But all that just basically to be a springboard and an introduction to lead us to reasons to attend church. Why you should attend church. What are the reasons to be gathered together in this congregation? The first reason, turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So I've got seven reasons to be in church. Seven reasons to attend church, and we'll see how we go. If we get through all seven reasons, that'll be great. But number one reason is because Jesus came to be an example to us. Jesus came to be an example to us. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says here, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So a couple of things here. Well, I want you to notice, first of all, you know, a synagogue is not a church. Let me just point that out. And God in the Old Testament never asked the Israelites to create synagogues, right? But what a synagogue is, a lot of people think of the synagogue today, right? They think of it as a place where Judaism is practiced and they meet. It's like their church. But a synagogue in the Old Testament was very much what we would consider a community center, right? If you're familiar with community centers, that's basically a public area where anybody can hire the place to meet at the place for different reasons. You know, some people might have weddings at the community center, or a reception, or a party, or just a meeting. You know, and that's what the synagogue was used for. It was a public community center used for many purposes in the Old Testament. And one of the reasons on the Sabbath day was to get together to read the scriptures and basically to have church, to learn, to sing, and to hear the word of God being preached. Because back then, you know, people didn't have like scriptures at home like we have today. So they would have to gather together with the scriptures that they did have and hear the scriptures read in the synagogue. So that's what a synagogue is, right? Originally, in the Old Testament, it wasn't a place of religious worship, though it was, but it wasn't the only reason for having a synagogue. It was for a community reason. But the main thing I want to point out to you is that for Jesus Christ, it says it was his custom, right? It was something he was accustomed to do. It was something he did often. When he came to Nazareth, he would go to church, to hear the word of God, That was the custom Jesus Christ has left us to follow. And so for you as well, if we set Jesus as our example, you guys should also make it a custom, something that you do all the time, something that you're known for, something that you're consistent at, is to be at church. And obviously we have church on Sunday mornings, we have church on Thursdays evenings, right? Make it something you're accustomed to do. Don't let it be a decision. You know, don't get to a point in your life where you're deciding, should we be at church today? Should I go? Don't let it be a decision. It just should be something you do. You know, just like work, you don't decide, should I go to work today? You know, if it's on, you need to be there. You need to be there. Same thing with church. You know, if it's on, you need to be there. You know, so number one reason, Jesus set the example for us. And what you'll notice when you read the New Testament, even when Jesus is not in Nazareth, wherever he's going preaching on the Sabbath day, he's at the synagogue teaching, right? So he always makes it a point, not just where he's locally, but when he's away from his local area, he's still at the synagogue hearing the word of God. You'll notice that in the New Testament. Same thing for you guys. If you're ever on holidays, you ever, you know, head out and you know, you're not going to be at church on that Sunday, hopefully you find a destination where there is a good church that you can attend to and make sure that's your custom. You think about, hey, we're going on holidays, but hey, on Sunday, you know, where should we go for church? You know, find a place that you can attend. Make it your custom as Jesus Christ had. So number one, Jesus came to set an example for us. Number two, we're commanded to be at church. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The Bible reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the command is to not forsake the assembling. Remember, assemble is another way of saying church. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And so we're commanded not to forsake the church, right? Now, I just want you to notice a couple of things. We spoke about point number one, where it was the custom of Jesus to be in church, right? But then we see here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it is the custom of some to not be in church. It says, as the manner, don't forsake the assembling, as the manner of some is. So there are some believers who are known for skipping church, who are known for having a good church they can attend to and still not attending that church. And so the command is, hey, don't forsake church. Don't be like these other believers that even though they have a church to attend to, it's their manner, it's their custom to not attend that church, right? You see that the difference between Jesus and these other believers, right? You see how their manner is to forsake the church. And it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the closer we get to the end of, you know, time, the closer we see, you know, the return of Christ is imminent, and we start looking at, hey, Jesus Christ could come back. Look at the world now. Look how bad it's become. You know, look at the technology. Look at, you know, the Antichrist can rise at any moment. You know, we might think of these things. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, we should be in church. And guys, if we're in the generation to see the tribulation, if we're the generation where we suffer the persecution from the Antichrist, be in church. It says, as you see the day approaching, God wants us to be gathered together. Hey, it might be a different scenario where, you know, we meet publicly right now. It might be some other nation like China, where people have to meet secretly in homes and things like that. That might have to come to be, I don't know. But the point is, hey, it doesn't matter. The closer we get, the closer we seek the time of Christ to come back, it says to gather so much the more. Okay, so make sure you think about these things, because God wants us to be here. And the question might come, well, what does it mean to forsake the assembly, right? We know that there are some people that would love to be here this Thursday, but they can't be. Some members of the church that are normally here on Sundays, but they can't be here this Thursday because they live over an hour away, right? Finishing work, getting home, bringing the family, just not practical at all. And now, are they forsaking the assembly? No, they're not forsaking. To forsake something is to abandon, to reject, or to leave entirely, okay? So, you know, if there's a reason where you just can't be in church, you know, you're just sick and you can't be there, or, you know, just something, you know, some emergency happens and you just can't be in church, you know, don't feel like you're forsaking the assembling. Don't think that I'm thinking you're forsaking the assembling, all right? I mean, there are legitimate reasons. If you're not in church, I'm just going to assume there's a legitimate reason you're not here, you know? But if I don't see you in church for like 2 weeks in a row, I'm probably going to contact you. Like, is everything okay? You know, why haven't you been in church? But, you know, I just want you to understand, like, you know, there are times where legitimately you can't be in church. And if that happens, you're not forsaking the assembly. It's not like you're trying to abandon the church or anything like that, okay? But obviously, if someone leaves the church completely and wants nothing to do with it, then obviously they've forsaken the assembling of yourselves. So number one, Jesus came to set an example. Number two, we're commanded to be in church. Number three is, while you're there, still in Hebrews chapter 10, we read verse 25. Look at verse 24. Reason number three is to be provoked to love and good works. It says here in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, which leads to not forsaking the assembling, right? So we know that church is a place where we ought to provoke one another to love and good works. And so what does it mean to be provoked to love and good works? Well, when I think about love, and it says there, like, considering one another, that's to be considerate to one another. Church is a place where we can gather as believers, right? And then consider one another. How can I serve my brethren? How can I edify my brother or sister in the Lord? How can I grow in love for them? You know, if you're someone that doesn't have a lot of love for the brethren in the church, then be in church. Talk to the brethren. Fellowship with one another. Get to know one another. Because the more you know one another, the more you will learn to love one another. Okay? Jesus Christ said in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, I just want you to think about this for a moment, right? How long have we known each other, right? Most of you, I mean, I've spoken to you sort of on the internet and things like that, but really, you've only really known me probably for the last month. Like, you know me a little bit, but you've known me really for the last month. And then a few of you have a fellowship together before the church started, but really, how long have you known each other? Maybe a year, 2 years? Yeah, probably not more than 2 years, I think, right? In many ways, we're strangers to one another. Like, we haven't known each other in our lives or anything like that, right? In many ways, we don't really know each other that well, right? So coming to church, fellowshipping together, praying together like we do on Thursdays, that's going to open you up to love other people, okay? It's very easy to not love the brethren, all right? And there's going to be times where you think, you know, that person, I just can't get along with that person. It gets under my skin. You know what? And you're going to have this mindset. But I tell you what, the more you spend time together, and look, there's going to be times in church where you're going to learn that that person's going through some hardship. You know, the reason that person may have been a little bit rude to you is because they're just going through some trials and they're just short on temper a little bit, right? But when you learn that they're going through hardship, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to have compassion for them. You're going to become considerate for that person. You're going to start to love that person. And you're not going to think of them as that, I couldn't get along with them. Oh, now I realize why they're like that. They're actually going through difficulties and I should be praying for them. I should be loving them. Things like that. So that's a reason for church, but also for the work, you know, to serve one another. That goes hand in hand with the love. When you love each other, you can serve one another. That helps you grow in love. But also, you know, just to do the work around the church, you know, just packing up, you know, setting up, doing those kind of things. You know, the food, serving, you know, helping the little children with their meals, just the work that we can do for another, provoking one another to these things, but also provoking each other to go soul winning, right? To go and knock the doors, go and preach the gospel. You know, I had this discussion with a couple of men. I think it was, I don't know if it was Wednesday this week or last week, but you guys said how difficult it was sort of, you know, you tried the soul winning, you tried to go out, and you did that really well for a while. But then when you're not being sent by a church, we don't have a church that you can actually get together and work together for and invite people to the church, that makes it difficult, right? And it becomes something that's difficult to do week in, week out. I'm really thankful that you guys have been doing soul winning. Really appreciate it. I don't know if I'd be able to do it, right, without a church that was sending me out. But church is a reason why we would provoke one another to go and knock doors. You know that together as a group, we can do it week in, week out. We actually want to do it week in, week out, right? We want to be with someone. You know, it's good to mix up the groups and learn from each other, and that will encourage us to be provoked unto good works. So the third reason to be in church is to be provoked to love and good works. Reason number four, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read there, is Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. So talking to the bishops, talking to me, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. So the church of God, you guys are people that have been purchased by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. God's made me the overseer to feed the church of God. So the fourth reason to be in church is to be fed the word of God, to be fed spiritually, right? To nourish our spiritual bodies, not just our physical bodies. And it's just like food. You know, every day you need to eat. You know, most people have three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, to nourish their physical bodies, right? And so when we think about church, yes, it's a place to come get a spiritual meal. Yes, you can come on Sundays, get a meal. Yes, you can come on Thursdays and get a spiritual meal. But is that going to be enough to feed you spiritually? Like if you were just eating twice a week to nourish your physical body, you know, you're going to lose weight. You're going to be malnourished. And I don't know if you'll die. Maybe you'll still live with two meals a week. But yeah, it's not going to be enough to really sustain you and get you through the week. Same thing with church, right? Yes, it's here to feed you, but you guys need to also take the word of God, read it for yourself, feed yourself spiritually so you can be well fed spiritually, okay? But it's important to be in church to be fed the word of God as well. So make sure that you feed yourself just like you feed yourself food. Now, you know what? There's going to be times, like, I really appreciate, I'm very encouraged by some of the feedback you guys have given me about my sermons, and you know, you find them really, really good, really practical, things you've learned. And I get happy. I get really encouraged by that feedback, you know, because then I know, hey, you know, I'm doing the job. I'm feeding you guys. But, you know, there's going to be times, and especially as we get into church and you've heard me preach for a few months, you'll get used to me. And then I might even preach things that are repetitive. And then you'll be like, you'll get to a point where you'll be like, well, you know, that sermon wasn't that great after all. You know, that sermon wasn't that, you know, I already knew that, you know, I've heard it before. You know, Kevin preached, didn't really bring anything new to the table this time. You know, there's going to be times where you're hearing preaching, it's not going to be the most groundbreaking sermon, you know, that changes your life kind of thing. And that's going to happen, that's fine. But I want you to think about something. What did you eat for lunch last Wednesday? What did you eat for lunch? Maybe some of you know, but I don't know. The reason I chose last Wednesday, I can't remember what I had for lunch. So I'm thinking maybe none of you guys. I don't know. I can't remember what I had for lunch last Wednesday, right? But did it nourish me? Did it feed me? Did it get me through the day? Yes. And have you ever had a meal where it's like, oh, the same thing again? You know, it's not my favorite meal. I don't really want this. But, you know, you ate it anyway. It nourished you anyway, right? And there are going to be times in church where you'll be like, what did Kevin preach about last week again? I can't remember. Just like you can't remember what you ate last Wednesday for lunch. But it nourished you, it fed you. That's the thing you need to take away from it, right? You need to remember, hey, even if I don't hear the most groundbreaking sermon, that's, you know, but I know it nourished me. That point in time, I was fed the word of God, and spiritually, I was fed. So I want you guys to keep that in mind, please. You know, always make sure, hey, church is a place to be fed the word of God. And regardless of the kind of sermon you hear, it's going to feed you one way or another. It might not be the greatest sermon, it might not be the greatest meal, hey, but it's feeding you, okay? So the fourth reason to be in church is to be fed the word of God. Now, let me just change direction a little bit before I get to my last points. But in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's a place called the house of God or the house of the Lord. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, the house of God or the house of the Lord was the temple or the tabernacle. Okay, I'll just read to you 1 Chronicles chapter 6. 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 48 to 49. It says, their brethren, also the Levites, were appointed unto all manner of service of the tabernacle of the house of God. So the tabernacle where the Levites were serving was known as the house of God. Verse 49, but Aaron and his sons offered upon the altar of the burnt offering and on the altar of incense and were appointed for all the work of the place most holy and to make an atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. So it's the place of sacrifice, right? Where the burnt offerings were offered as well. So it's the tabernacle, the house of God, which became the temple. Okay? But turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So that was the house of God in the Old Testament. And we know the old, the tabernacle, the temple system has been done away with in the New Testament, right? We know that. And the temple was destroyed in 70 AD as well. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So I just want to show you, church is not the Old Testament temple. It's not the Old Testament tabernacle, but it carries the same title as the house of God. So when we read in the Old Testament about the house of God, we can apply certain things that we read about there and apply that to the house of God in the New Testament. And the house of God is the church. Okay? We're gathered together right now. This right now is the house of God. Not this building. This building is not the house of God. When we think of a house, we think of a building. But we are the house of God. The Bible says we are the temple. All right? Our bodies are the temple of God, and He dwells in us. So when we're gathered together, God calls the New Testament house of God the church. All right? Now, all that just to take you to the next few points. Turn with me to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. The fifth reason to be in church, Psalm 122, verse 1. The Bible reads, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Number five reason to be in church is to give you joy, so you can rejoice, so you can be glad, right? Church, when church is on, you ought to have gladness. You ought to rejoice. Hey, I can't wait to be in church, right? And right now, my kids right now are like glad to be in church. Yes, to play with their friends, probably more than hearing the preaching. That's probably what they're more glad about. Hey, but fellowship's an important part of the church, right? Fellowship, like we said, provoking one another to love and good works. Hey, children can do that together. But you need to be glad. Hey, and I want you to think about this. Are you glad when church is on? Are you glad when, hey, it's time for church? Hey, quickly, we got to get there at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. I know how hard it is when we have a lot of children, right? Are you glad on Thursday? You know, you might be tired after work. You know, oh, church, 7 o'clock already. It's Thursday already. Hey, I want you to be glad. And if you're not glad, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with your spiritual life. Okay, there's something wrong with that part of your life. Okay, so I just want you to consider that. But church is a place where to rejoice and be glad, a place of joy. You know, it's a place to rejoice in worship. When we sing the songs to the Lord, we sing to Him. Hey, I want you to sing with a joyful heart. I want that to translate into your mouth. You might not be the best singer. Hey, but if you've got a heart of joy, that's going to reflect in your mouth. And I want you to sing loud, not to me, not for the congregation, but sing loud to the Lord. God wants us to sing loud to Him. Hey, to rejoice in the fellowship. When we gather together, we enjoy one each other's company. Guys, I want you to take, not just, wait, what can I get out of church? How can I rejoice in the company of others? Hey, but for you to consider, hey, what joy can I bring in the life of others, right? So it's a place to bring joy in the life of others. I want you to come here, rejoice, not just to rejoice in the preaching, but to rejoice in all aspects of the church. The singing, the praying, the preaching, the fellowship, the soul winning, you know, the food, whatever it is, I want you to come with a heart of rejoicing. Church ought to be a place to give you joy. That's point number five. Point number six, turn with me to, you're already in Psalms, turn to Psalm chapter 20. Psalm chapter 20. Psalm 20. The sixth point is that church, the sixth reason to be at church is to have a sanctuary away from the world. A sanctuary away from the world. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 3. "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah." So I just want to show you that in the Old Testament, the sanctuary was the tabernacle, was the temple, the house of God, as we say, right? And the application that I want to take from this psalm is that church ought to be a place of sanctuary. What's a place of sanctuary? It's a place of refuge, a place of safety. You know, the definition of sanctuary is refuge or safety from pursuit, persecution, or other danger. Now, we don't live in a country where we're being persecuted for our Christian faith, though it's coming. I think it's coming. But we do live in this world that hates the Lord, that hates the Word of God, right? We go out and we will fellowship, oh, well, not fellowship so much, but we will have to be associated sometimes with non-believers, maybe in your workplace, maybe, you know, friends and family that you have. You know, you're going to be tainted with the world's music, right? You might go to the shopping center and hear the world's music. You might be in work, in an office, hearing the world's music. You know, it's hard for me. I know how hard it was for me to work in an office. You know, I'm trying to keep my mind clean with the things of God and keep it holy and clean and pure. But, you know, all day for the, you know, 7.5 hours, you just have the radio playing, you know. And those words start, you know, the music starts to get in your brain and you're trying to filter that out, you know. You might hear dirty jokes, you know, on the job and things like that. You might be just gathered together with unbelievers that just aren't helping you spiritually at all. And so church ought to be a place where you can find sanctuary for the world, from the world. And that's why these churches that pattern themselves after the world, that pattern themselves after a rock concert, just mess this up, because church ought to be a place that's different from the world. Okay, we're trying to get away from that. We come to church on, the reason I wanted a midweek service on a Thursday is because waiting for a whole week on Sunday is too long. And if you miss that Sunday, you won't have church for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? I wanted to have a midweek service because, you know, you've worked Monday to Thursday. You know, you need to be refreshed. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to be gathered with believers. You need to have a refuge from the world. Just clean that garbage out. Come hear the Word of God. You know, worship the Lord God and just be renewed, recharged, so you can go out again, you know, and face the world once again. So church ought to be a place of sanctuary from the world. If we start to look like the world, we're wrong. Right, kick me out of the pulpit, get someone else in here. If we start to look like the world, I want us to be different from the world, a place of refuge. And my last point, point number 7, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it to you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that's repeated 7 times in the book of Revelation. For the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the 7th reason to be in church is to hear from the Holy Spirit. And you might say, Kevin, don't I hear from the Holy Spirit every time I open His Word and I'm led by Him? Yes, you do. You know, no doubt about it, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth as you read His Word, as you study and meditate upon His Word. But there's a work that the Holy Spirit does in the church, where He moves in the church and He speaks to us in the church through His Holy Spirit. So if you miss church, you're going to miss hearing from the Holy Spirit on that day. And there's been many times where, you know, I might have been talking to friends, we talk about some doctrine, and we might have questions and not sure about something, and then sure enough, you go to church, and the preacher preaches on that topic, right? It's like God knew He needed to give you an answer to that, put it on the heart of the preacher that day to preach on that topic, right? But then there's been other times where I've spoken to my friends, they've missed church that Sunday or whatever, and then that topic's been preached on. They weren't there to hear it. They didn't get to hear what the Spirit was saying to the church that day, right? So you need to be in church to hear the preaching, you know? But this is the thing I want you to understand. The Spirit doesn't only speak to you for the preaching, right? The Spirit doesn't only speak to you in the preaching, though He does that as well, okay? Has there ever been times where you've read the Bible, like you've been hearing preaching? I don't know if this happened. This has happened many times to me. I've been in church, sitting down, listening to the preaching, and then, you know, the preacher says, oh, turn to this book, to this chapter, to this verse, and I've turned there, and before they've gotten to that chapter and expounded it, I've read it and gone, oh, I know where he's going. I know where he's going with this, right? But then when he gets to it, he goes a totally different direction. I'm like, huh? I thought this is where he was going, but he takes that verse and goes a totally different direction, all right? Now, let me ask you that. Let me question. What I saw before he went into that other direction, what I saw and what I learned and said, well, yeah, that's applicable. I see where he's going with that. Who gave me that knowledge at that point? Was it the preacher? It wasn't the preacher. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit, right? He was working in me, showed me something, even while I was listening to the preaching, even though that's not where the preacher was going, but I read something and I took something out of that. That was a truth that wasn't from that preaching. That the Holy Ghost can speak to you not just through the words of the preacher, but as you follow in the scriptures, he might show you some other things that you can apply for to do with that sermon. Okay? So it's not just a preacher that you're going to be hearing from the Holy Ghost. It's from your own personal reading while you're in church. but also from the singing, the songs that we sing. I don't want you to get to a point where you're so used to the songs, you're singing them without any meaning. I want you to focus on the words, because the Bible tells us that singing is teaching. You can learn from the words of the doctrine in the songs. So pay attention to the singing. There's been many times where I've been singing and there's been words and they've just spoken to me. It's like just the Holy Ghost, just those words that we're singing, just speak to me and just move me. And I don't know if that's happened to you, but hey, pay attention. And look, sometimes some people get this idea, you know, I know when we get to church, they're singing for about 20 minutes, and then you might realize, oh, Kevin probably sings for about 20 minutes. The preaching doesn't start until 20 past. You know, we can get to church about 20 past. You know, don't have that mindset. You know, be here for everything, because the Holy Ghost will use the songs as well to speak to you. Also in the prayer, times of prayer, you know, the Holy Ghost can speak to you in prayer. You know, just be gathered amongst believers. They might pray about things that you weren't aware of. And that might be the Holy Ghost just prompting you, hey, you need to pray about these things as well. You probably haven't considered that, but the person you're praying with has considered that. Hey, you need to bring that to remembrance. You need to pray about those things as well. And also, hey, the Holy Ghost can speak to you in fellowship. When you fellowship with one another, speak to one another. You know, there's been times where, you know, I might have been a bit discouraged. You know, I've gone to church, been a bit down, you know, not in great spirits, but I've been to church. And there's a brother that, you know, just greets you. Hey, brother, how are you? Great to see you. Great to see you today. You know, you're such a blessing to the church. And guess what that does to you? Just lifts your spirits, right? When you hear another person just encourage you. And that's what church is, a place of edifying, a place of encouragement. We already read about, you know, being provoked to love and good works. And sometimes the Holy Ghost can speak to you through another believer and just encourage you, give you what you need. Hey, they might even have an answer to some of the questions you might have. They might not even know that was something you were asking, but in your conversations, in your fellowship, you know, another brother or sister might give you an answer that you've been searching for. And that's, again, the Holy Ghost speaking to the church, being moved through the church. So I just want you to think about these things. That's all I have for you today. But make church a priority in your life. Make sure it's not a decision you make. Just make it your custom, just as Jesus Christ had his custom, to be in the synagogue and to hear the word of God. You know, and make sure you take it all in. You know, don't think, you know, oh, I can just hear a sermon online and that's church for me. No, there's so much more to church. The Holy Spirit can speak to you through so many other ways when we gather together as brethren. So please make church a priority in your life. Let's pray.